Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pelo de Borghesis.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Hey, they're happy it's not raining right now.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not, is it? Huh. Wow. Awesome.
So,
yeah, it's actually
they're
bad.
Thrilled about no rain right now. We're summer patterns here, plus the hurricane, Julie that went up there, plus the other tropical depressions, all sorts of nasty weather around the southern part of the United States here. So,
yeah.
Oh, typical. Well. Typical. Yeah. Typical summer. Typical.
That's right. So, at least we're not shoveling snow or, you know, we don't do that.
And
so.
We never will year-round.
Don't jinx it. There's always that, you know, 1.5% chance that it could happen, but...
That's true. That's true. Well, I don't even think it's that high of a percent chance.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's not. Yeah.
But there is that possibility. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
There is, always, yeah. Well, we are back, and we have our call-in line is open if you want to give us a call. I have forgot what our 800 number is, our toll-free number. I had it written down somewhere, and I can't find it. It's like 866-588-WINE, I think it is. I'll have to look it up. But
I have to look it up, too. I've written down. I don't have it in front of me either.
I have all these little like notes and things that I need to announce.
Yeah, I do, too.
Different things, and I lost it. Can't find the phone number.
Spread out all around the front and everything. Yeah.
We do have a toll free number if you want to give us a call. Try 866-588-WINE, and if it says All About Wine, you got the right number. And then
if it doesn't, press, then
yeah,
we'll look try, it up and give it a second.
Try 855. And if that doesn't work. No, I think it is. Call this number, 646.
It's 866. This is a.
I think it is. Yeah, it is 866.
That's all I have. 866. I don't have the phone number here.
Yeah, I think it's 866-588-WINE.
That's it. 866-588-WINE or 9463. Okay. That's WINE spelled out for all of you who don't have
it. Oh, so you have that too. I don't even have that. Okay. But anyway, or if not, then 646-727-3235 is the number, and it'll get to us also. So
always get us on that number. Always. In fact, I need to write down that toll-free number before I forget it, because if I don't, I'm going to. But what? And we'll do this again. Everybody's going, oh, come on, you guys. What's wrong, man?
Yeah, right. So, try this.
Try this. If that doesn't work, then
we'll get it.
Try this.
We'll get
toll-free. Toll-free.
Yeah. Just make sure that your call is about wine and not, airboating or, you went gator hunting or something.
Gator season was open. I was going to mention that, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Gator season open. I don't know how long it lasts.
Speaking of gators, have you ever had gator meat?
Yes, I have. It's very good.
Well, I never did until the other day. I went to, someplace down here in Winter Haven. Some had really high marks and reviews and everything. I was like, all right, fine. They go, would you like an appetizer? I go, what do you have? And they go, they had fried
gator tail.
Something. And I said, okay, yeah, sure. And had a little dipping sauce with it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really good.
It is.
I was shocked.
Gator meat's very good. I really like it. I just, I don't get it as much as I like to, but it is very good. So if any of you ever come here to Florida to visit, or if you live in Florida and you haven't, then try some gator meat. Mostly it's gator tail. That's really because there's a lot of meat in the tail, and so.
And I'm wondering how they're affected by it, because gators use their tails a lot when they're swimming, and if you're eating them, what are they going to use?
Yeah. Well, they use their hands. Have you ever seen it? It's just one of these, strokes with the hands. That's all.
I waited 7 days to say that one. So. All right. Seven days. I probably got that one out.
It was worth it. It was.
All right. If you're still tuned in, this is all about wine. And
it definitely was worth it. I liked it.
Good stuff. I never had it before. I mean,
Gator meat is very good. before I forget it too, y'all, have you tuned in to Mike's program? He does a radio show, Sky Blue, every Thursday and Friday from 3 to 5. I guess.
Wow. Yes, it was 3 to 5. That's awesome. Been getting some good response and everything, and playing all kinds of stuff. So it kind of some songs may appeal to you, and some you may say, nah, maybe next time. I play a little bit of everything, so.
But it's always
except
something
rap.
For everyone.
I don't do the rap thing, but
I'm not into rap either. I just
if someone comes up with a request or something, I'll say, let me see if I can play it.
And then never and play it.
And time constraints. And they also have a toll-free number too. That's kind of interesting. So I have number to remember. That number to remember. This number to remember.
No wonder it's confusing. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. But I give out the right number.
This is the only toll-free number I need to remember, and I don't. So that's bad for me.
Right. Well, now that the show's over, how much time?
How many people we lose now? we were talking right before we came on there about different things that can go wrong with wine. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of different things. And when you run across a problem, it's always amazing, because you can call up different labs, you can call up different people, and people are more than willing to talk with you to try to help you through it or try to help you understand your problem, all that. I love that about this industry. I mean, I've had problems with wines. I call up a lab and I say, I want to send you a sample of this. I want you to test it and tell me what's wrong. And they go, what's the symptoms? And I explain to them. They go, oh, no, you don't need to do that. It's this and this. And I'm thinking, I was going to send it to you. You can charge me for a lab test and all that. But they didn't. They just said, no, this is this. And that was the end of it right there. So it's it's cool in the industry. I just, and that's why it's so cool talking to all these people too, because everybody's willing to talk about wine and all that. So, but that's what I wanted to tell you, Mike, before we got on the air, before they rudely interrupted us and put us on the air. So, but it happened. Have you? Yeah. And speaking of, have you heard or have you been receiving blogs from Joy Neighbors, Joyce Joy of Wine?
I have not. You mean like a newsletter from her?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Neither am I. And not for a while. And every time we get on the show and we do the opening, that's when I start thinking about it. And then I forget about it once I get off the show and I forgot to follow up on it and all that. So I made myself a note here. But, you know, every week we used to get this All About Wine blog.
Yep.
And it's been months since we've gotten the last one. So I need to get a hold of her and find out, you know, what's going up. How about the Grave Interest? Are you getting that?
No, I haven't gotten that either.
Me either. Wow. I don't know what's up, what's wrong with her. So, okay. I just wonder if you were getting it, if it was just me, if I need to resubscribe or something, but it just sort of stopped, so.
Yeah, I haven't gotten anything in a long time.
Wow. All right. Well, the wine tonight is 120, honoring the 120 heroes in Chile. This is a central Chile wine. This is the 2014 red blend called Heroes Salute, our 120 Heroes Salute red blend. It's a blend of Carmenere, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. It's good. I enjoy it. It's not that expensive, really, and I always enjoy it. Once you pour yourself a glass, so it's first thing you pick up is this chocolatey aroma that just sort of jumps out of the glass. And it's just really interesting and fun. But nice, pleasant red blend. Carmenere. I like Carmenere. And actually, since I am talking about Carmenere, oops, not that one. Oh, what they? Well, I just closed that one out and didn't do that. So let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, and then this, and then this, and go down here to this, and Carmenere. Since I mentioned Carmenere, I was just something I want to talk about it tonight anyway. So that was a good segue into that. Unintentional, but I will take full credit for it. Little thing I saw here says the return of Carmenere. Is it coming back? It says after a faltering start, Chilean winemakers think that Carmenere is ready to deserve a second look, ready to come back and let people notice it. It was rediscovered actually in Chile in the mid-1990s. And at the time it was said to be Chile's flagship grape. There was all sorts of great stuff being said about it and all sorts of, you know, people waxing poetic about how great it was and all. And I discovered it myself. We carried some Carmenere at the winery for a while from Chile, and I love it. It is a phenomenal wine, a phenomenal grape. It's got a black peppery nose and taste to it that I just fell in love with. And you can't find it that much anymore. It's still out there, mostly in blends, but you can't, not nearly like it was a few years ago. But they're saying that Carmenere is making a comeback. At the beginning, they were trying to make Carmenere the wine of Chile, the flagship wine, the wine that is quintessential Chile. But it really didn't work. It was not embraced like everyone thought it would be. The main thing they were doing was trying to make Carmenere, treat Carmenere like a Merlot or a Cabernet. And it's not. It's a completely different type of flavor and grape. And it needs to be grown in different types of soil and with good canopy and crop management, and makes for a great wine. It's not a high production. You have to let the plants take care of themselves a little bit, but you have to be careful with it, and you have to watch for the mold and all that that you can easily get on clusters of grapes. But the Carmenere, they're saying, is starting to pick up again. It's one of those that people are starting to notice. People are starting to realize that it is a great grape and that it's one that is more than capable of holding its own and becoming a good grape for Chile and for people around the world who are looking for something different. So Carmenere, and this 120 is actually its majority Carmenere. You can really pick up. It doesn't say the percentage on the bottle, though, but it is very nice grape, very nice wine. 120, honoring the 120 heroes. Well, I say 120 heroes. It says on the bottle, according to legend, the 120 patriots exhausted after a long, hard battle during the fight for Chile's independence reached the lands belonging to Santa Rita on that fateful night in 1814. These forces of liberty found refuge in the estate cellars. Today, within these estate cellars, our gold-winning 120 wines are crafted to honor their heroic character. Boy, that print is small for my reading. So that's what it is. 120 back in the independence of Chile. But 120, it's in most of the stores and stuff. You can see it around. It's everywhere. Okay, what are you doing, computer? Don't be doing this to me. I need you here tonight. So, the return of Carmenere is out there. Let's see. Science has proven which color wine gives you the worst hangover. Yeah, okay. Well, this article, it's a blog, actually. This is a blog by Catriona Harvey-Jenner, a Cosmopolitan blog, cosmopolitan.co.uk, an English blog. But she mentions, you know, what's a surefire way to get a headache and pounding and all that. Well, after a heavy night of red wines, it gives you the worst hangover. But some people say it's a white wines because of all the acid and all that, and it settles into the stomach and eats you up and gives you the worst hangover. But science has now found an answer. According to ABC, and that's ABC Network, a professor, Steve Alsop, from the National Drug Research Institute in Perth, Australia, says that a hangover is down to things called congeners, C-O-N-G-E-N-E-R-S, congeners. Congeners are there in beverages, which determines the color and flavor of the beverages. So the darker the alcohol is in color, the more congeners. And congeners are toxic byproducts of the fermenting process, says ABC, which lurk in your body the next day and make you feel bad. The more alcohol you consume, the more congeners you'll have, so the worse you'll feel. So, which basically goes by the logic, if it's a red wine, it's going to have more congeners because of more color. And white wines won't make you feel bad because it doesn't have the congeners. But then again, that doesn't always mean the case, because white spirits, gin and different things like that, can make you just as much of a hangover as red spirits, be it wine or whatever. So, you know, I mean, in reality, I've had people come in all the time to the winery and say, well, I just can't drink red wine because it just gives me such a hangover. And I look at them like, well, really? But how much do you drink? It is alcohol, so keep that in mind. It's not what you drink so much as the amount. And some people don't know when to stop it. And some people drink too much of it. you know, just remember, use a little bit of discretion and you're not going to get that hangover no matter what you do. So, contagers, I thought that was an interesting approach to that. Let's see. Oh, good. Then I'm back where I'm supposed to be. That's always a good thing that the computer is doing what it's supposed to do. And Carmenere. Oh, I just talked about Carmenere on that. Sonoma. We've talked about AVAs before. Sonoma has a new AVA, American Viticulture Area, coming up. It is Fountain Grove. I believe it's Fountain Grove. Let me finish pulling this up here. Sonoma's newest AVA is Fountain Grove Day. Fountain Grove Day. Fountain Grove District Wine Growers Association is sponsoring Fountain Grove Day. Fountain Grove Day. Okay, Fountain Grove is it. It's in Santa Rosa, August the 20th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you've missed it, then it's too late now. Speakers, wine tasting, lunch, and AVA excursions were featured. It is in Sonoma County. It doesn't give any details of it or anything else, which is really sad. It would have been nice to find out more about the that's not the AVA, that's the Fountain Grove Day, I think. Let me see. And I was right. It's nothing about the AVA, it's just about what they were doing at that. There's like 12 wineries that are in that AVA, so that's why they're exploring it. But Sonoma, another AVA, Fountain Grove. And let's see here. What is Iowa? Changes in Iowa's regulations. I try to get a variety of different states in here instead of just talking about California, because there is wine everywhere. The expansion in alcohol could affect tourism, they're saying in Iowa. Iowa's beer and wine industry is growing rapidly, and the state laws aren't able to keep up with it. So they're ordering a review of the regulations that will allow local breweries to sell wine. Iowa's laws regulating alcohol was first written in 1934. So the legislature just wants to make sure that the laws from them aren't hindering businesses or what have we got? We got ABC up here. This, we don't want to hear this. Okay. Hate the sites that you click on. They automatically think that you want to hear. Well, here it goes again. Okay, well, let's just mute her because she's saying the same thing. I was going to say, you'd probably rather listen to her than me anyway.
I can hear it in the background, really faint, and I'm like, watching a video.
Yeah. Well, she's explaining the same thing that I'm going to talk about here. I probably should
act
just
like she's
turn
on
her
a,
up.
Act like she's on a guest. She's a guest and say, okay, you're on the air.
Would you please tell us about the new alcohol? Alcohol. Iowa alcohol. It's only 2 minutes and 33 seconds. I really should just go ahead and play it. Yeah.
Well, you know? I don't know if she. I don't know if they have any kind of, you know, thing against that or what. What are they
going to. Yeah.
What are they doing?
It won't be loud enough anyway, so I can't do it.
No.
That's as loud as I can get it. It won't come up anymore. Oh, well. No laws against trying. The Westo beer is hopeful that the adoption of the state laws will take effect soon so that they'll be able to offer wine in businesses. Matt Matheson, the owner of Westo beer, says that consumers out there that just drink wine, it'd be nice to have that option. tasting room manager Jennifer Samuels says having the option to sell wine could even affect tourism. She says think selling wine would be a positive thing for the area. They have maps of Iowa breweries, Iowa wineries, and we like to share those with customers, especially if they're making road trips and have a lot of time. People do brewery road trips, winery road trips, and this way you can include them both in it. So if there's local wineries, it gives them an opportunity to taste either the beer or the wine. A lot of times wives prefer wine and husbands prefer the beer, and so it's sometimes a choice of where you want to go. With them serving both, they said it can cater to both people, and they won't have to make decisions. It will all help the economy in Iowa because it's all Iowa product, and it's not something that is going to hurt anything. The changes would allow more exposure and balance the need for rapidly expanding business. Small breweries looking forward to exposure, as are the small wineries, which basically Iowa is small breweries and wineries. So they're thinking that it could work well for them. And hey, more power to them. I think something like that would be great. You know, have them sell wine or beer at the any of the wineries or breweries around there. Basically, it's the same license in most places anyway, so it's not going to make a big difference. So, hey, go for it. This caught my eye, and I don't know why I didn't know about it beforehand, but I wish I had if I could have announced it. But thousands sign up for free online wine course. Now, I didn't know about this online wine course. So there's around 11,300 students signed up to the latest University of Adelaide online wine course, which started back on the 7th of July. More than 50,000 people from almost 160 countries have signed up in the program since it began, mostly from the U.S., U.K., and Australia, because that's where most people speak English. I'm sure the course, if it's in Adelaide, is in English. Consumers are more interested in knowing about the wines they're drinking, says Kerry Wilkerson, the associate professor of oenology at the University of Adelaide. She added that many in the wine trade have also signed up. And completely overlooked the fact that there is a whole range of people who work in the industry, from administrative roles to wine marketing, sommeliers, and bottle shops and restaurants that need expertise. The course, named World of Wine from Grape to Glass, MOOC, M-O-O-C, which means Massive Open Online Course, includes a virtual field trip to the Yolumba Winery in Barossa Valley. The majority of people are not going to have the opportunity to walk through a vineyard, let alone a commercial winery in full vintage, said Wilkinson. So, the World of Wine from Grape to Glass. Let me see. That might be a click on here for me. Let's see if that tells me anything about the class or anything else about it. Yes, it does. All right. Here you go. And it's a free course. So, there you go. It says here, www.edx.org, /course/World Wine Grape Class, Adelaide-Wine. Wow. Learn about the principles and practices of how grapes are grown and wine is made. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned oenophile, you'll learn to confidently describe wine, appearance, aroma, flavor, and taste. About the course, think about your favorite wine. Imagine the brilliance of its color in the glass, the ripe fruit aromas on the nose, the hint of toasty oak and lingering tannins on the back palate. Perhaps you like a specific wine but can't pinpoint the reason why. The attributes that make wine so enjoyable are achieved through the expertise of viticulturists and winemakers whose decision-making in the vineyard and winery is underpinned by science, to be precise, viticulture and enology. The finer details take years to learn, but in a matter of weeks, this course will give you a broad understanding, and it goes on to describe what it's doing, What you'll learn, evaluate, and communicate the various sensory attributes of wine using formal descriptive language. Explain the structure, growth, and development of grapevines and objectives of different vineyard management practices. And contrast the different winemaking techniques employed in the production of different styles of wine. Cool. Well, I wish I'd called. I'm sure they do this periodically. Pursue a verified certificate to highlight the knowledge and skills you gain. Well, that's $50 if you want a certificate. The course is free, but the certificate's $50. So, wow. Good thing. If you, boy, the address isn't easy. It really isn't. After the program, I'll see if I can't get this posted up on our website so you can click on it. The length of the course is 6 weeks. It does 2 to 3 hours per week. I guess it's just at your pace, too. The price is free, but you can have a verified certificate for $50. The institution is Adelaide X. Subject is under chemistry level introductory, language English, and video transcripts are in English. So, wow, what a deal, what a deal. I'll see if I can't get this on the page here. Huh, I don't know. After the program, I'll see if I can't get that posted up onto our Facebook page or our All About Wine page, and you can check it out there. And if you want to enroll in that, I don't know how often classes or if it's ongoing or anything, but if it's a video course, I'm sure it could be ongoing. It's just something that you can sign up for any time and just continue to watch and enjoy. So, great. Okay, let me see. Something else I wanted to talk about here, too, is the TTB labeling requirements for labels. We talked about this a little bit a couple of 3 weeks ago. Out-of-state bottling is not created equal, and consumers' right to know where the grapes in their wine came from is compromised. This is new TTB regulations. The purpose of the notice of rulemaking, there's been a lot of confusion and much spilled ink about this topic since TTB's announcement on June the 21st that due to, and this is in quotes, concerns raised by wine industry members and members of Congress regarding the accuracy of label information. End quote. The TTB is proposing a rule change that places restrictions on what information will be permitted to appear on the labels for these wines. All right. Now, winemakers are not affected. Please note that winemakers who currently apply for certificates of label of approval, or COLAs, that's what they're called, certificates labeled for wines using grape from the same state where they make their wine will not be impacted by these changes. And they can stop reading here if they want. For the rest of the industry, that does not apply, does not rely on the exemption from label approval process, then this is what it states. Winemakers who are affected, proposed changes will severely limit the usefulness of exemptions from the normal label approval process. Two camps of people, those who are information about the source of the grape and the variety and the vintage of their wine, but ordinarily may not because the wine is not made in the same or adjacent state. And for those who are not concerned with identifying the grape or the source. If the proposed changes are adopted, the ability of both these types of winemaker bottlers to effectively market their products will be severely hampered, and consumers will be forced to make wine purchasing decisions for locally produced wines without access to such important information as where the grapes came from, the types of grapes used to make the wine, and the year the grapes were harvested. Oh, wow. Current labeling regulations, wine producers may apply for and receive an exemption if the wine will not enter interstate commerce. And then it goes on and says that ordinarily prior to a wine that is more than 7% alcohol by volume being sold and labeled, the winemaker must apply for COLA. And then in that grape varietal, the appellation of origin, the vintage, the type of designation of varietal must all be on the label. They said the hole in the regulation, if it is a hole, that the wine to be bottled or packed is not to be sold, offered for sale, or shipped or delivered for shipment, or otherwise introduced into interstate or foreign commerce. So if you keep it selling out of your winery, that is not applied to you. A lot more government TTB BS that they're throwing at us to try to, you know, make it clear. And every time they start doing changes, stuff like that, then it not only confuses the wineries and creates more work and more cost, it also confuses the consumer and creates more work and more cost. A lot of this stuff, and it's I got to rant for a couple of minutes here. A lot of this stuff, like the AVA, you know, I've talked about this over and over again. If you're listening to the program, you are educated about AVA, because I'm constantly bringing up what an AVA is, American Viticulture Area. But I ask people at the winery all the time when I'm doing tastings. I'll think of it in the middle of a big group, and I'll say, oh, by the way, how many of you here, by show of hands, knows what an AVA is? And never do I get anybody holding up their hand. Now, here's this regulation is also, you know, the area of origin, which is basically an AVA, and stuff like that. People don't look at that stuff. People don't know what that stuff is. People don't care most of the time what that stuff is. So the few that it affects, I don't know. I just sometimes it just irritates me, the stuff that the government does and goes into and tries to fix it. And it becomes more tedious than it does fixing anything. So I don't know. Enough of me ranting about that now. South Central Idaho. What is that? That's not what I want here. South Central Idaho is another big growing area. We've talked to some people up in that area and all that. They want to have their own AVA. And I just mentioned AVA again here. You know, the wineries and grape growers in part of South Central Idaho want to plan to form their own organization and push for an AVA. The group is known as the Ultras Wine Alliance, and they're going to ask the Alcohol and Tobacco Trade Bureau, ATTB, to designate a region, an American viticulture area. It is Thousand Springs winery co-owner Marguerite James, who is leading this effort to create the proposed, Ultras, A-L-T-U-R-S, Ultras AVA, says the designation would help the fledgling wine industry in that area, trying to get the interest in it and launch the momentum forward. The Ultras AVA encompasses 41,732 acres. That includes Elmore, Gooding, Jerome, and Twin Falls counties, all along the Snake River Plain between the cities of Buhai and Hammett. That's a beautiful area there, by the way. If you've never been there, it is something that you should add to your bucket list of places to see in this country, the Snake River in Idaho. Includes 5 wineries and 8 vineyards. The Wood River Resource Conservation Development Council submitted $149,000 specialty crop grant to the Agricultural in support of the ABA petition. their grant request, creating, submitting the AVA 5-year marketing plan, and all sorts of good stuff that goes with it. The Alturas Wine Alliance will submit a specialty crop grant to support it and hopefully get it advanced through. The Alturas AVA is already part of the Snake River Valley AVA, so that is part of it there. But the Snake River Valley AVA is 8,263 square miles. That was created back in 2007. Venters in the Alturas area have struggled to get their name recognized and that area recognized. And she said because of the uniqueness of that area, it should have its own AVA, which could help the entire state of Idaho and the grape growing industry as a whole in that state. So a brand new AVA for Idaho. Cool. The more we get, the more people might understand it and recognize what they are. Okay. Oh, here we are. A discovery that could transform Canada's wine industry. I thought, I saw this and I'm going, what are they doing? But they're talking about, because Canada, and hey, although Canada has got a great award-winning wines, and they're internationally known, and I've been to the Canada and tasted the wines, they're phenomenal. But the cold winters and short growing season are always a problem, always a challenge. You have to have certain grapes that will survive the cold ground. And a lot of the wineries off the escarpment are protected by the escarpment in the eastern part of the country, but that doesn't always hold true for all around the country. And so they're looking at doing something else to try to do it. And a Dr. Mehdi Sarifi, I believe that's how it's pronounced. I'm sure it's not because I destroyed the names because I'm not sure. He says, move the production indoors. It would change the entire future of Canada's wine industry. Expanding organic production along with stopping winter injury of the grapes and stopping low yields. And it would help increase central and eastern Canadian grapes tremendously. Winter freezes would become a thing of the past. The erratic temperature jumping up and down, which has caused a lot of loss of production and prevents a lot of grapes like Syrahs from even being grown in Canada because it just won't stand any of the cold weather at all. So he's saying that the expense for planting a indoor vineyard would far outweigh the initial cost because you can continue to get plants. You would not have to replant. Annual costs for grape growers to replant and take care of the structure outside runs very high, $10,000 to $15,000 an acre to maintain the grapevines on annual cost. And they said that if they put them inside, they grow faster, they progress faster, they work for any grape variety, so you don't have to worry about it. You can control it all inside, and it would be a great way for the Canadian wine industry to start opening up to a lot of other grape varieties and continue to make their award-winning grapes and yet not have the outrageous cost that they have been stuck with because of the Canadian climate and the cold and all that and being limited on the grapes because of the cold. So he's saying that the pH, the acidity levels and the sugar in the grapes and all that would definitely make for better wines using an indoor thing. So that's out of Food in Canada. That's a magazine called Food in Canada. So next one here. We've always talked about this. I continuously bring this up, but this is always fun to see another article on it and talk about it. It's, would you pop a can of Pinot Noir? Yeah, well, again, wine in the can. We've talked about this in the past, and we'll look at it again here. The glass bottle has been around forever, glass containers and all that, but they're looking at alternatives, wine without the bottle. A two-part study entitled Beyond the 750-milliliter Bottle, Millennials' Responses Toward Alternative Wine Packaging. It included a group that followed drinkers nationally of 1,151 respondents, ages 21 to 39. And they found that they were not adverse at all in having wine in the can. I said the convenience was great. They'd be able to take the can. A lot of places you can't take bottles. It's easier to carry. And it overall, they embrace the possibilities. Sparkling wine has been in cans for over a decade, actually. But the other types of wines that we're so familiar with haven't. The Sophia, Francis Ford Coppola, daughter Sophia Mini Fizz, was started in early 2000. It's been around for quite some time, but they've put other stuff in those cans also. The can quality has improved tremendously over the years. The surveys, they've asked people whether they try wine in a can on a 1 to 10 scale. Those under 42 average in the 8s. Yes, I would. Those over 50 consumers fell to under 3. That's old baby boomers have a hard time accepting the fact that wine could be in a can. The younger millennials just completely bashed the can. They thought it looked childish. They said that just reminds me of being in high school. So the younger millennials weren't real thrilled with the thought either. But the middle age group, the older millennials, thought it was a great idea and very convenient and a great way to do it. All four of the kids are all in the under 42 to 32 age group, and all of those I can see embracing wine in a can. So I can understand that mind thought of it. What size cans? What are you going to do? This is a question that always comes up. The challenge of the container what are you going to do? What size of a can? Wine doesn't age like bottled wine. Early adapters of Coppola needed to experiment with preservative liners, sulfur with additions, and packaging rhythms to ensure the freshness, be sure that it was rotated. Much of that now, that knowledge is in place, and so they're finding that it's easy to keep it in a can on the shelf. The question also arises, what is one can of wine? A lot of wineries opt for cans of 187 milliliter, which is just about 5 ounces. Four ounces, 187. 5 ounce, 250 milliliter, which a lot of times sold in four packs. A 375 milliliter or a 500 mil, all sizes that are being used for wine in a can. The Food and Drug Administration just finds one serving of 12% alcohol as 5 ounces. Or 187.9 milliliters, 148 milliliters. So winemakers have opted to make small cans and larger sizes to defeat the key of coming benefit of canning wine in the first place. I mean, If you're making a whole bunch of real small cans, your cost is going to get outrageous. If you have a 500 milliliter can, that's not a single serve because you have to pour it into a glass. Some of them are doing four packs of 250 milliliter cans. So that's a liter. They say here that's three glasses of wine, but actually it's, you know, actually a lot more than that. It's a liter. Some wineries use the 375 millimeter cans or milliliter cans that nearly mimic the 12 ounce ones for beer and sodas. It isn't one glass, but the answer always is how many times have you ever ended with just one glass of wine anyway? So it's here to stay. You can find wine in a can all over the place. This article was out of Wine Spectator, by the way, so it's a mainstream mainstream magazine there. Wine Warriors. Have you seen the TV show yet? There's a new TV show called Wine Warriors. I saw an episode of it. It was interesting. I don't know. I'm not a reality TV show watcher. I never have been. It's never been something that's appealed to me. And so, therefore, to sit there and watch these reality TV shows, to me, gets rather boring. I end up starting to read or something, and I miss, you know, half the show and all. So I just never watch reality TV shows. But there's a new reality TV show that is on now. It is called Wine Warriors. And this follows four wineries and vineyards: Chateau Chantel, El Mauby Vineyard, Good Harbor Vineyards, and Chateau de Lilanu, all in Michigan. From picking to production, it started on Saturday on FYI Network, Saturday at noon on August the 20th. So we're into the season a little bit here. The producer came up with the idea after he was up in Traverse City doing some tasting, and he heard the same questions being asked of the wine people there over and over again. And so he thought that this would be a good possibility for a show. They want to do a wine show. Let's take All About Wine on the road. Let me talk to wineries. All right, that would be a good reality show. I would not watch myself because I don't watch reality shows. So. I thought that there was a story to be told, so we found a way to tell it, he said. Takes place on the Old Mission and the Lanu Peninsulas, as well as in downtown Traverse City. The half-hour installments of the 13-episode series is hosted by William Browning, who is a wine lover and is learning stuff and asking questions throughout the series and all that. People don't understand what wineries go through, and so this is a way to let them know. Browning will follow each of the businesses around for the year as they deal with the weather, technology, bugs, and all sorts of other stuff that is involved with it. The producers chose these wineries being featured because of their unique stories and differences. Chateau Chantel is a large winery that has a bed and breakfast. Good Harbor Vineyards is smaller and is owned by a few family members. It airs weekly on Saturdays at noon from August the 20th until September the 24th. Then it takes a break while the seasons change, and the show will be back on November the 5th and finish its first season run on December the 17th. Second part of the show will focus on the harvesting and prep for winter. The show producers are working on setting up private tours as well as producing Wine Warriors branded wine to showcase the products of the show's wineries. So if you're interested, check that out, FYI Network. It's available on demand if you have that. And I know that's how I usually watch it. And it's also, I'm not sure if it's on any of the other Netflix or any of that stuff right now yet or not, but I'm sure it is, because they usually pick up everything right away anyway. But interesting. It's an interesting stuff. They go into different things and all that. Like I say, the one that I watched it was interesting. Again, not being a reality show watcher, it didn't really, I get bored with it. So there you go. That's it for tonight. We do have a festival Saturday, so I'll let Mike fill you in and talk about that.
Yeah, I have to go to that email. A couple of people on Twitter have been retweeting or liking our tweets and stuff, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and Winefest, let's see if there's to be announced on the next one. Okay. Yes, you do. Hold on.
Oh, quickly, before you tell about that, I want to tell about this. Where is that? It's right here. France, Languedoc vines suffered the worst hailstorm in history a couple of weeks ago. Worst hailstorm, there was a 92-year-old winemaker in one of the villages there and said he couldn't remember a hailstorm as violent as this one. Some hail damaged up to 60% of the 2016 crop. It was getting so close to being harvested, it's really suffered. Chablis has suffered from two bouts of hail and frost, and it's cut back on their harvest, as well as the Loire and Champagne regions. But this one is just, it devastated. It just right before harvest, and it knocked off grapes, and it did a major number in Languedoc, north of Montpierre. I want to point that out. That was a very, very bad hailstorm. Devastating. Thank you. My engineer just threw the word in there I was looking for. Not a good thing. But yep. I wanted to mention that, too, before we get off the air. So, okay.
Okay. All right. Yes, you do have a Wine Fest this Saturday. Hold on just a second, and I'll play hopefully the right one, and we'll be right back in a minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. Music will be provided by Constantine, so come out and enjoy the day with live music, and as well as a bunch of vendors. I see some interesting, maybe a little different ones. I'm not sure.
There's some new ones.
Old Line E-Liquids Company line of vape juice will be represented there. Cheryl is going to be bringing various Curious George necklaces, Curious George blankets, hand stamp printing on necklace hearts, handmade hair bows, Murano beads, Pandora beads, all kinds of good stuff. Gilbert with Tabanero Cigars, Tampa's finest handmade cigars made in the cigar capital of the world, Ybor City. Or as some people who don't know how it's pronounced is Ybor City. Let's see. You also have, Ybor. Actually, was named after John Vicente Martinez de Ybor or something like that. Don Vicente Martinez de Ybor. Okay. Also, you got food is provided by Susie's Dogs, served by her husband Charlie. Back again with more grilled hot dogs, grilled to order hamburgers, cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, and three different grilled cheese sandwiches. Man, sounds good. All kinds of good stuff. Let's see, candy bars, fruit pies, all kinds of things. What else? Don's Wooden Things will be there as well. He makes handmade items out of wood. Deborah's with Heavenly Honey, local beekeepers from Land O'Lakes, with raw, all-natural honey. That's always good. And Raffle Rescue.
Lisa. Yeah, Lisa.
Okay, yeah, I keep trying to remember the name there. Raffle Rescue Incorporated Pet Food Program of Pasco County, Florida. Check it out, and don't forget you can also bring a donation for the cause, and goes to a great cause to the Raffle Rescue Pet Food Program there in Pasco County, helping animals one life at a time, and basically, you save animals by keeping them in the home they already have, which is a good thing. And let's see, also Gemstone Jewelry with Sharon, Frog Hollow Creations. A lot of vendors out there, and it's always a great time. So come on out to Florida State's Winery, and we'll see you there. Great shopping, and don't forget, holidays are right around the corner. The tip jar last month was for Alzheimer's Association Suncoast Chapter. And this month it is for Scleroderma Foundation. This is an autoimmune disease that affects mostly women aged 25 to 55. Over 300,000 cases are in the United States, and there is no cure. So stop by, add a little something to the tip jar, do some good shopping this Saturday. You can actually stop by anytime during business hours and add something to the tip jar, but just come out and do it. Okay? That's what you got to do. So we'll wait here. operators, anyway. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. So check it out, and we will go ahead and close the show now. And
one more thing.
We'll see you all. Yep. Okay.
One more thing I want to tell about. We always talk about how Pennsylvania is so tight with their laws and everything. Well, Pennsylvania wine drinkers can have wine shipped right to their doors. It's now a reality. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board has issued its first batch of new direct wine shipper license, which has vastly expanded the wineries that can ship to Pennsylvania. Governor Tom Wolf signed into law earlier this summer a bill that loosens Pennsylvania liquor laws and expands the wine shipping options. And he's even allowing some grocery stores and other establishments to sell wine to go. I mean, considering how tough Pennsylvania was with their laws and their wine stores. As of a couple of weeks ago, the Liquor Control Board has granted 48 direct shipping licenses throughout the country, including some within the state. The list of wineries with the license is updated as the licenses are approved. Any number could be shipped. Only limited number of wineries can ship to Pennsylvania now. It's expanding tremendously from California to Pennsylvania. You can barely hear me, can you? Three Pennsylvania area wineries have gotten the license so far: Grace Winery in Glen Mills, Delaware County; Penn Woods Winery in Eddystone, Delaware County; and Sand Castle Winery in Arwena, Bucks County. So Pennsylvania residents can have up to 36 cases a year shipped directly to them. Can't be resold for personal use, but 36 cases a year can be shipped into Pennsylvania for individual use. Yay, new laws, yep. New rules, changing all the time.
That's always good. Changes like that are good. Yeah, it's always good.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Just got to get more on board like that.
Yes.
Different.
Yes.
Like the states still haven't figured it out yet. Okay. It's, I forgot what time, 8:03. And we will see you all next Thursday, which will be September 22nd. So
we'll
see you all September.
Day of autumn next week.
Wow. On the day we're on here. Huh.
On
okay.
The day we're on there. Yeah,
okay.
First day of autumn. Time to get out the autumn sweaters and
it'll be bone chilling 80s here in Florida.
Yeah, 84 I think. So
that cool. Wow. Okay,
but just the thin sweaters.
Yes. All right.
We don't need the heavy ones to win. Yeah.
7 p.m. Eastern time next Thursday, the 22nd, the beginning of autumn, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. If you want more information, go to our website, allaboutwinebtr.com. and has the email, Facebook, Twitter pages, all that kind of information on there. So check it out. We'll see you all. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great
Thanks
week.
Thanks for joining
and,
us.
Drink wine. Thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Drink wine.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.